Hey guys, welcome back to Pneumatic Musketeers, episode 7. We're really sorry about the delay in this episode. We took some recording time earlier today to do an interview with Kurtap or Patrick. That'll be coming out tomorrow mid-afternoon. Our recording schedule is usually Wednesdays, but last Wednesday we were both kind of busy. Well, mostly I went to go see Tomorrowland and get
Yeah,
Chinese
and I
food.
wasn't available to get home early and record. I had no way of getting here, so.
Yeah, so episode's a couple days late. Darn.
Yeah, we have all sorts of bribes and cool bonus content coming up this weekend to make up for it.
Yes.
A lot of that revolves around our coverage of Spring Offensive 7, which we'll get into a little later on. But this week, I covered this in the news brief last Saturday, but I stumbled upon a really cool airsoft website. It's called Airsoft C3. What it is it tries to create a sort of national network of fields, shops, and teams.
I think it's more of like a
It's a
database, though,
database,
isn't it?
yeah, but there's a bit of networking involved, I think. It's just that for now, but they have some big plans coming up. Not much has been said about it, but yeah, seems like a really cool idea. Instead of just being dependent on local forums and websites for it, places like USAG Northeast Airsoft Group, for like team networking and events and shops and fields, have this grand unified national database in case you want to go on a road trip, or if you're looking into going out to a national in you want to catch some CQB around there before or afterwards, who knows? But one really cool thing I noticed they were doing, and that was actually how I found out about the website, was they're running a contest, a photo contest, and if you register your team on their website, it's entirely free, and you PM them on Facebook with a link to your page. It took ours about 2 hours to process, because they were fairly busy at the time. And a shipping address, they will send you one of their patches for free. They're really nice rubber PVC type patches, really solid. I like it. I'm gonna enjoy having it in my collection, me being a bit of a patch hound.
Yep. I actually I had Chris inquire while he was submitting it if it would be possible for me to buy a patch from them as well. And they're like, "Oh yeah," and they just sent it along with Chris's, so I'll be actually getting that on Saturday when I see him at Spring Offensive. And it was very reasonable price-wise. Wasn't something that I even thought about.
They're selling them for $2. So this contest they're running, it's you take your team and you can take as many photos as you want showing the patch. And the coolest photos win. Number of winners and runners up, kind of depends on how many people enter. But winners get up to 5 Airsoft C3 t-shirts for their team for free, and runners up get up to 5 patches for free. So it's not a huge prize, but you get a free patch just for participating. So it's really cool. They're really nice guys. I got to talk to them briefly on Facebook after just working out some logistics stuff. But we're definitely going to cover them a little more at the very least. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have coming up with their site.
Yeah, they say that they've down at the bottom they said the airsoft community deserves a modern suite of tools and we intend to deliver them. Hold on to your helmets.
Yeah, it looks like they've been around for about 2 years now, but I've never heard of them. Morgan, I don't think you've ever heard of them.
Nope, I heard about them
When I
when you were
was
like, "Hey, look at these,
OMG free
look at this thing."
patch.
Yeah.
Because that's how I am. I don't know.
Pretty much.
I just like personalizing my gear a little bit in the way that patches let you do so. But yeah, I think it was definitely a good move on their part. We'll definitely be putting in some entries. I'm actually bringing my player kit down the Spring Offensive,
Despite
even though I'm
reffing.
not playing. I am reffing, so it's an entirely different kit, different rig, different clothes. I have no need for my gun, but I'm still bringing it down just so we could take some cool
photos. I mean, I'll have the spare Franken ICS if you just want to use that instead of carrying your stuff as well.
We can always use both. I need some glamour shots. Because my current airsoft photo is from 6 months ago.
Me.
6 months.
Yeah, and me.
8 months ago. Yeah. Recently it came to our attention. We actually meant to include this in the last episode, but we had quite a lot to cover, so it didn't quite make the cut. Emerson Tactical, actually, in our complaining about Green Zone, has actually released a set of combat shirt and pants with integrated knee pads.
Complaining about the price,
yeah,
mind you.
Yeah. For $73 for the set. The combat
plus
shirt itself is The combat shirt itself is $28. So, I'm not terribly familiar with Emerson, Morgan. I don't think you are.
Mm-mm.
So if anyone has any ideas on Emerson, let me know, because I'll probably go with this kit and then just get the Helicontext CPU jacket rather than the full set. So end up saving money.
Still save like $35 overall, plus you'd get a shirt out of it.
Yeah.
Combat shirt.
Yep. So if it's good quality, that'll definitely be my kit.
I think it's definitely going to be repro quality. That, like, I definitely did burn a bunch on that Helicontext stuff, but that's really, really, really well made stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, oh, I spent so much. But on the other hand, I'm like, this is awesome stuff.
Although, for all we know, you're just trying to justify your purchase to yourself now.
Oh, well, I mean, completely, but it is really well made.
Yep. Alright, moving on. Operation Lionclaw's Millicent Siri has announced that the Ransomville project will be cancelled June 1st if registration numbers don't pick up. They're really low, and I hate to see this to events, especially national-level events. Lion Claws puts on these great, awesome games. I don't think I've ever seen footage of a Lion Claws game that fails to make me wish I could have been there. It's great production values, and so it just sucks, guys. So if any of you are in the New Mexico area, see if you can make it down. It's Lion Claws, why not? It also seems like it's a bit in a different vein from their other games, because they seem to separate things into operations and projects. So
what's the difference?
I'm not sure, but the fact they separate them does say that there's a difference. They don't really say what the difference is, but. Moving on to something we have a little more definite information on. A company we all kind of love. Well,
I don't know. It's maybe not love, but it's pretty well respected for the fact that it makes nice quality, really nice quality externals and pretty solid quality internals.
Yep. Right. Not too much information has been put out on this. It's literally two sentences. But Crytek is releasing a new LMG enhanced with a new key mod rail design.
Evike did have a video of that SHOT Show 2015 that I watched earlier today. Not sure if it's the new Crytek gearbox, because apparently there's two of them, but it's pretty nicely designed. The new key mod is metal. It's designed so that if you put a rail on top of it, it is the same height as the rail on the receiver. Overall, it doesn't seem all that much different, other than it's just a little bit more of a modern look to the to the front of the gun.
I do have to say, Crytek may have released this gun for me. I've been just looking around for a saw-type gun just to have. And I'm a sucker for key mod.
The thing is, though, I guess it's not really as important if it's HP8 or something, but the gearbox design like, saw, like, M249 gearboxes are definitely more designed for sustained fire.
Yeah.
The Crytek LMG is a V2 gearbox.
Yeah, but if you throw a Hydra in it, it's not going to matter either way.
True.
And I've wanted to have an HPA saw for a while. Just to hear that burp. Yep, that's coming this summer. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Speaking
of summer, kind of in the beginning of the summer, the Russian season opener happened last week at 3,000 plus players. And they had tanks.
Near Moscow.
Like actual tanks.
Near Moscow. Or at least in my mind, I always thought of the Stag Ops games as being big 500-something players. I know they weren't the biggest, but I always thought of them as big.
I mean, they're...
Now it seems tiny.
They're definitely big.
Russia going above and beyond as usual. No point doing something unless you do it big if you're in Russia. Yep. PTS announced something some people might like. Personally, not my cup of tea. But, to each their own.
Still.
Yep. They have announced a Masada gas blowback rifle coming out this June.
Woo. Yep. Pretty soon.
Yep, the handguards and stocks for the AEG variants of the Masada are fully compatible with the gas blowback version.
Oh, nice.
So, none of that stupid, why do I need this to be different.
Masada, didn't ICS recently, yeah, I think the CXP APE is, like, available on Evike now. I think that's also, like, a Masada style.
Yeah.
It actually looks
I think the real skill nice. Guns may have come about as part of the same program. That's why.
But the ICS one definitely looks pretty nice. It kind of looks like well, I mean, people know what Masadas look like, but I kind of like the way they look. They look like kind of thin scars, almost.
Thin scars. A scar on a diet. And speaking of scars...
WE announced a gas blowback rifle, a SCAR HGBB, which is pretty awesome. We've had a lot of SCAR LGBBs. Of course, with the SCAR HGBB, it'll be another round of hey, you get to buy a whole new set of $40 magazines.
Yeah. For scars, as far as the looks go, because in Airsoft, you know, it's all about looks. Mostly. The Scar Heavy is actually preferred for me over the Scar Light.
I'm still a fan of the Scar Light just because...
Because of mag compatibility. I'm talking purely in terms of looks, though. Although both, I have to say, are second to the SSR. And I haven't seen a good Airsoft SSR out yet. There may be one I'm unaware of. But, alright, carrying on with gas blowback rifles, because there are plenty this week. E&L has announced their first foray into the world of gas blowback rifle M4s.
Which, if I recall, because we saw this in a tweet by...
Jag Precision.
Yeah. They did comment that, E&L make pretty much the best gas blowback AKs, pretty apparently in the business, just about, which people, or most realistic AK on the market, which people may dispute. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're going to have the real Swordmaster race a little upset at that. I've handled neither, so I can't really comment. But, well, that's not true.
Well,
I've handled a real sword that the previous owner tried to convert into a gas blowback, and that ended very poorly.
Didn't Jester own that?
No, it's actually Coffee who has it. And I still don't think he has it working. He's had issue after issue with it. That's the only time I've ever heard of anyone having issues with a real sword, because this person tried to convert it to a GBBR.
Which is just a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's a shame. You should not touch a real sword's internals. A real sword, real sword should stay a real sword. Okay, leaving gas blowback finally this episode. Wolverine finally has all the parts in for their Hydras, and their first run is currently being assembled to be released soon, and they've finally finalized their packaging. Woo. It looks almost like the kind of thing you would get a Razor Mouse in. Green and black.
Yeah. But, you know, Hydra.
Hydra. Yeah. Going back to Crytek a little bit, they're now being distributed in Brazil by Parabellum Airsoft. There's not much more to that. But if you're in Brazil for some reason and you're listening to our podcast, you can get a Crytek gun now.
Yeah. As opposed to before when you could just order it online, pretty much, I'm pretty sure.
But now there may have been importing issues. That's the thing. Customs.
True.
Yep. All right. So this weekend is Black Sheep Crisis City. I've seen practically no details on this, despite looking fairly hard. I'd imagine it's... I think it's a bit different from their other operations in that it's at more of an... I think it's at a CQB and Mount type training center. I'm not entirely sure on that.
Yeah, I have not heard really anything on that.
Yeah, I can look into that right now. Yep, Crisis City is in Kansas. It's May 29th to 31st, so it actually starts tomorrow. And there is literally no other information on it that I can find.
That's weird. You'd think they would have... Is it just that it's not advertised much, or...?
I'm going through their website, and the next operation they have listed is Bobrivka, which is in June. So, who knows? But that's not the event this weekend we'll be covering. We'll be covering Spring Offensive 7.
Which is, I believe, Dance of the Suicide Kings?
It is, in fact, Dance of the Suicide Kings. The Suicide Kings being King Kertap, first of his name. And a bunch of other things, which I'm not going to get right, so I'm not going to try to list. And Boomer.
Yes.
Because KOFOR has changed CO yet again.
Yep, though, as we talked about while interviewing Kertap, Boomer did run.
Yeah, Boomer is a...
He's a returning CO. Yeah,
he is a returning CO, although he has not been CO of KOFOR in...
A while.
Probably, I think, 8 games or so, probably?
Something like that.
Yeah. This is the one we've all been waiting for. I mean, there are little operations all around New England before this, but the beginning and end of the New England season is really Spring Offensive and Autumn Justice. Stag Ops bookends our season, guys. Everything else is minor. We are officially leaving the off-season and going into the full force Airsoft season 2015.
Yes. And as with all, stag up games, of course, one of the days is forecasted to pour.
It's less than an inch.
Barely. It's like 0.94 inches it's forecasted.
Not exactly looking forward to that, because the only brightly colored rain gear I have is a heavy coat. So I
thought you were going to say, like, your sister's My Little Pony.
I think we ran with some people at the last game who would appreciate that, actually.
We did.
Yes, we did. They ran the Sable round.
Yes. But it definitely looks like it's going to be fun. Temperature looks like it'll be really nice on Saturday. Yep. About 72 degrees, clear, low humidity, perfect airsofting weather.
Minimal of airsoft time. I know behind the scenes we've been working to just... streamline stuff. Okay, this is where you need to be there. Don't put up
with
anything.
I think the main streamline for airsoft time this game is the fact that they switched back to 2 registration stations instead of 1 previous.
That was on the field, though. That was not on Stag Ops's part.
Okay, that was.
There was only 1 credit card system, and
well, but there still is from what I think Cobalt posted.
Yeah,
but they have a cash line as well.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, Bob Smith, the owner of UBG, actually didn't allow a cash line at the last game.
Weird.
Just flipping through the AARs as I often do. What else? Yeah, kind of going back to the game aspects rather than the weather aspects of Spring Offensive, it looks ridiculous. There have been so many additions to the field. Actually, we were asked the other day to start covering fields in New England and giving them reviews. The only fields the two of us could really review is UBG, because it's the only field both of us have gone to at this point in time. But yes, we don't want to until after Spring Offensive, because there have been so many changes to Ultimate Battleground that we feel we won't be doing it justice, because it has been, what, 8 months since we've been?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we will be getting that too in the coming weeks, don't worry.
And I don't know the details, because he's wisely not told me, because all the stuff he read is, like, super secret.
I was told don't even show Red Team, who are the role players.
Yeah.
Some of...
He's got, like, all of the info on what's going.
Yeah.
So if he says they're turning it up, I'm inclined to possibly maybe trust him on Tuesdays.
I've seen both off boards. I've seen the schedule for Red Team. I've seen everything there is. And I can't really say much without getting a lot of people mad at me. But what I can say is awesome. This game is taking Stag Ops' normal 11 and turning it, not to 12, to 13.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of bummed I'm missing the game, but at the same time, I'm going to get to see places I would never see playing.
Like the other half of the field.
I'm actually mostly in the other half of the field. Tentatively. Alright, but yeah, this weekend, I know I'm going down tomorrow afternoon, or today afternoon. I'll be going down this afternoon by the time this goes out. So Friday afternoon, I will be camping out there on field Friday and Saturday night, and we'll be returning Sunday evening.
Yeah.
So both of us will be super, super busy. Morgan, you're not even going back home until Monday, are you?
Possibly super late Sunday night, but yeah, staying at a friend's cabin.
Yeah.
Down about 20 minutes in the field, which is nice.
So there may or may not be a News Briefs article this weekend, partially because we'll be busy with Spring Offensive, partially because this is fairly delayed. And all the news that comes out 5 minutes after we record normally would record. We won't really be able to check news too much, because I'll be limited to my phone, so I can try to do some. But definitely a game to look forward to. This will be one for the history books.
Mm-hmm.
Often said that these Stag Ops games are national games, just at regional pricing. And honestly, if that's true, it's never been more true than with this upcoming game. Mm-hmm.
Would even be pretty much national level attendance, just about. But at least at UBG currently, we're pretty much capped
are capped at player count. And this has happened the last few events, actually. The limiting factor has not been how many people Stag Ops wants to allow in. It has been the capacity of the field.
Yeah. When you pack 550-odd people, and the field's big, yes.
What, 160 acres?
There's a lot of... Something like that. It's big, but it's a lot of super dense underbrush. It's not really like... It's not enough that you can move through. You mostly stick to the paths and stay within 40 or 50 feet of a path, because past that you're in like chest high, like dense brush that is really hard to walk through and quite often hides like pits underneath.
Yeah,
which was really funny.
I rolled my ankle pretty terribly my first game there because I didn't see a pit.
So we're pretty much capped. So unless Stag Ops moves to like what? Where's that field? Like MACV, the really big one up in Vermont or something?
I don't think they'll do that. I think it's a bit too far out of the way.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool to see just how big they could push this, but they're running out of fields that are big enough.
Yeah, that would probably hurt their attendance going up there, just because it's so far out of the way. But definitely a game to look forward to. We're going to be pushing out tons of content as much as we possibly can.
Hopefully.
As I said, as much as we possibly
interviews.
Can.
Yeah.
Looking for interviews.
We want to try and do some interviews at the game.
Morgan's going to have gameplay footage. I'll be posting I'll be posting some stuff up on the Instagram account, tweeting those out, taking plenty of glamour shots. We'll be doing our photos for the Airsoft C3 photo contest. And we might have a little bit of a video surprise, I'm not sure. As great as Spring Offensive will be, in one way, it will be a sort of bittersweet moment for us, as it will be our friend Dingo's last game. He's moving to Australia right after the game, and so will not be able to play Airsoft with us, or even at all, seeing as it's currently not legal in Australia.
Yeah, he's not even just, it's not like he's leaving and going to Australia. He's actually been in Ireland.
Yeah,
he's flying back
for the game.
Yeah, from Ireland, and then flying back to Ireland and straight to Australia.
Yeah,
after the game.
But we...
He really wants to play this game.
So we might film a little goodbye for him. We're not quite sure yet. But yeah, other than that, it'll be a great game, hopefully. Alright, so I think it's about time for our terrible build. The terrible build is extra terrible this evening, thanks to long hours of recording.
Indecisiveness. We call it the slippery slope. The
slippery slope is a bit of a progressive weapon. It's a little modification of the inner barrel. You start with a wide bore barrel, right? Get that. Catch the BB. And then it progressively angles in to a tight bore barrel to funnel the BB in and, you know, get that extra accuracy and a little extra velocity from it being a tight bore.
Inverse crown.
Yeah, it's essentially a crowned barrel put in backwards.
So, not sure how that would work, if it would work at all. Well, it'd probably work. Its accuracy, I don't know.
The ballistics of it would be quite interesting. I think it's time to say, I'm Chris.
I'm Morgan.
We'll see you on the field, guys. We're Pneumatic Musketeers.
We're signing out.